It's 9:31. We're past. We're ready to start. Let's. We're on the edge of looking at the eternal heaven and the eternal kingdom. But we're going to take the time to review, I think, here. So let's open in prayer and let's get started. So, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we can study your word. We can still do that pray that you give us the strength and the courage to continue even when that time comes that we're not allowed to do this. We pray that you guide and direct our thoughts today. Guide and direct this study that we have in front of us, that we can open our hearts and our minds and to your word and continue to conform ourselves as best we can to what you want us to be. We ask that it's in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's turn to chapter 21. And we'll read one verse here of Revelation. Yes, I'm sorry. pick your book of the Bible, and we'll all just read together here. But no, 21, verse 1. Because we got through the up to the great white throne judgment last week, and we're going to look at what we have in store for us, and I think we'll go back and do a review. Kind of put our jet tour through here, maybe a few comments coming from Tim LaHaye and Tom Ice. I think they've got some interesting comments. You may agree, you may disagree, but they're interesting. They've got pretty good reason here. So then we might, just for the fun of it, let's just plan on finishing Revelation before we go back to the look at the Olivet discourse and at some time here in the future. So let's look at chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Now we're going to stop there. We remember that there are three heavens referred to in the Bible, right? Time for disagreement. I'll always pause for anybody disagreeing here. We have the heaven that we see where the birds fly, the air around here. That's the first heaven. We have the second heaven that is in the space, the heavenlies, we call them. You know, the heavens declare the glory, his glory. Concept. And then we have God's throne room, that heaven. That's not the heaven that we're talking about here passing away. That will stay. That is, there's nothing there. This is what we're looking at, the heavens. I'm not sure if I found the right answer, if the heavens and this in outer space, what we call outer space, will be destroyed. It's a good thing it's the details aren't left up to me, okay? That's for our God to do. But we do know, it says right here, that this heaven and this earth will pass away at that time, and then we're going to read about the new heaven that comes down. This is after the millennial kingdom. John's on it right now. John's going to tell me. Okay. All right. But with that, let's... just with that description, let's just go back and review the whole piece here, where we've been, and I'm going to lose track of time here. I'll go ahead and put this in here. So, but somebody give me a five-minute warning if I get rolling on something here. But just to review, we're approaching this from a pre-trib, pre-millennial position. Pre-tribulation means the rapture happens right before the tribulation period, the seven-year period. And if you remember, there's basically four different thoughts of people's opinions of those when that's going to happen. We just happen to believe The literal writing would indicate that that it would be a pre-tribulation basis. So that's the pre-trib. Pre-millennial is right before the millennial kingdom is established. I'm sorry, it's warm in here, up here. So I'm going to be a heathen again. Take my coat off. Okay. Right before the millennial kingdom is established, Christ returns. And we've looked at there's three different basic beliefs in that, but it sure looks, when you look at a literal reading of the Bible, that, thank you, Terry, that it would be a premillennial. So our position, my position is, and it fits this church's doctrinal statement, we're pre-trib, premillennial. We do know that it's going to happen one way. As everything in the Bible, you know, when somebody says, well, what may be true for you on this verse, it may not be true for me. This is an obvious. It's going to happen one way. So, again, the details are left up to our God, and that's good, because he is perfect. And as we see in any other Bible reading, there may be different applications that you may see, but again, I've said this before, and this won't be the last time I said that if somebody, straw man over here, says, I believe this provision says this thing, and I say it means something else. God's word is for everybody. Okay? He can't say, become a Christian to us and your life will be wonderful, and to those people who are in persecuted countries, you can't say that your life will be wonderful because they're being persecuted. That days might be coming for us. But anyway, he may say, I believe this is what it says. I may say, no, I think it's what it says. But the law of non-contradictory says, he's right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and he's wrong, or we're both wrong, but we both can't be right when the message is one clear message. Okay? So that's where I come from in as we look at our study. So just for the sake of saving some time, we're going to assume that we're right on our pre-trib and pre-millennial opinion of what comes up. Now, what happens? First point, timeline here. And well, let's just assume that it happened today. Now, don't walk out here saying that we got a Sunday school teacher that says the rapture is going to happen today. Okay, but let's just, from this time frame, today the rapture happens. All those who have died in the past, the saints, and we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ will rise immediately before those that are alive. And since we plan like it happened today, I guess we'll be alive here at that time. We will be raptured at that time, and we will be in front of the beam of judgment, and then the tribulation period starts. Okay? And take notes. If I skip something here, I'm going to try to go as fast as I can through here, so I might be dropping a few things, but at the end especially if I forget something here, we'll put it right back in here to our timeline. Okay, we have a 7-year tribulation period. Oh, just because we think that the rapture will happen before the tribulation period, and we know the tribulation period is really going to be terrible for those left here, doesn't mean that we're going to be in a cakewalk up until that rapture. Look around at our world, what's happening today. Things could get really tough for us. And they've been really tough for the martyrs, those in other countries that have been martyred. So tribulation period starts. We have 3.5 years of things that are bad. Those that are believers, true believers, are raptured. Those that either hate God, think they're believers, they may go to church, but they aren't really true believers. They stay here. Those that are thinking about it, They stay here. What's another category of people that would be staying here? I mean, those that really hate God, you know, that want to persecute Christians and keep Christ out of out of our public schools, things like that. Those would be here on earth. And just to know those people, there's three alternatives for them. One, which is probably the most likely, they will be deceived. I think it's Revelation 14, and there's another place in the New Testament that Paul writes. They will be deceived, and they will take the mark of the beast, and you might just say, this tribulation period will be their best life now, okay? Because it ain't going to get any better once they get to the Great White Throne Judgment. That's the first group. Most of the people will be doing that. Then you'll have a group of people that will see Christ as who he really is, be a true believer, repent. We go through the whole process there to become a Christian. Most of them will be executed in this 7-year period. Some will continue on, survive until the end of the 7-year period. Those that are executed, they become tribulation saints, as mentioned we went through that in Revelation 20, I think it was. Yeah. 20. Anyway, 20. Anyway, they will be tribulation saints. Where was I? Then the ones that survive, they will, to the very end, their place is going to enter into the millennial kingdom in their mortal body. Okay, so let's go back through the thing here on the tribulation period. 3.5 years. We have a false peace with the Antichrist. So we have the Antichrist comes to power, and the false prophet is his person, his religious leader. We have the seal judgments, the 7 seal judgments during this first 3.5 years. The fourth one, we didn't go through all of these. We didn't go through these at all. But the fourth one, a fourth of the world, the fourth of the population is killed. Then at the end of the, towards the end of that first 3.5 years, close to the middle, we have the 7 trumpet judgments. These are terrible things that are happening. The sixth one, a third of the people are killed. The sixth. So right there, if nobody else was killed during this tribulation period of time, we've lost half the population. Okay, do the math. Okay, take 25% off and then take a third of that, you're at half. But you've got other judgments that are going to kill people too during this period of time. Again, if they have been deceived, if they have not become believers at that time, they go into this one place of Sheol or Hades in their holding place, okay, along with all of the others since the beginning of time that have gone through there. Then, let me see, where am I now? Then we have those, the second, or at the middle, okay, we have that part, and then the second 3.5 years of our tribulation period, it gets really, really bad. So bad that Beverly was looking at Daniel 8, at the end of chapter 8 of Daniel. It is so bad that the vision that was given to Daniel that you can see is this period made him sick, passed out. Well, he passed out, and he was sick for days. That's how bad it was, just the vision of what's coming at that point in time. Now, this is not gloom and doom for us because, you know, we will have been raptured at that. So that's a good thing, okay? Keep that in mind. So towards the end of that 7.5 years, or 7 years, that end of that 3.5 years, we have 7 bowl judgments. Again, we didn't go through those judgments, but they're right there. There's several chapters in the book of Revelation on those. just, I would get bogged down if I was going to try to go through this, because one, believers are not going to be here to endure this, to have to endure this, but some people will. In other words, if a person finds themselves attending church, but they didn't really become believers, and assuming our rapture happens today, they're not going to be raptured. So they better be getting their Bibles out and maybe some of these study guides, because it is a little difficult to follow through on this without some of those real smart people that have done their homeworks. I've got a few of them. Ron Rhodes is another one who's contemporary. Tommy Ice, those that I'm kind of patterning this whole dissertation after. Where was I now? The bowl judgments towards their rapid fire at the end of our 7-year period, and right before that, then, or right as that happens, then we see. Well, we can just kind of follow this through. We're going to look at this in Revelation 19, 7 to 10. I'm going to follow this, kind of this outline that they've given here in the Tim LaHaye, Tom Ice book here. We have a marriage of the Lamb. Then we have the glorious appearing of Christ, which is Revelation 19, 11 to 18. Right. No, we don't. Jot these things down here. Revelation 19, 11 to 18, because then, yeah, I'll give you those things here if you want to jot those down. Then immediately we have the Battle of Armageddon. So we've moved from rapture, 7-year tribulation period, and I know there's some things that I've left out in there, but they're important. Then we have Christ's return. This is where he comes as a, whether he has a sword in his mouth or it's like a sword in the mouth, he is going to destroy everybody that is not his. There will be people in that tribulation period that do come to Christ, do come and become believers. This is a period of time. One of these people wrote that the primary purpose of this 7-year period is for the Jewish people, who are God's chosen people, to see Christ for who he really is and come to Christ at that time. And we're going to see, I know I'm leaving out the 144,000, that's an important piece here, but we're going to see them come, and there will be people preaching about the true Christ, and they will be the ones more than likely that are executed. Some will be able to survive to the end of that 7-year period. But as Christ comes back, we have the Battle of Armageddon. That it would be at Revelation, you go back to 14, chapter 14, and verse 41, or 14 to 21. And I did have that handout of the, what I called the battle plan, the different points of when in Israel things are going to happen, but they're going to happen real quick then. And this is not a drawn out battle. This is over. I mean, it's almost as soon as it begins, Christ will destroy those that are not his, and he will pick up those on earth at that time. I don't know how, I didn't look at the details there, but they will then be able to enter the millennial kingdom that's on earth that will be for 1,000 years. That's what millennium means, is 1,000. Although there's been reference to that kingdom in the past, the book of Revelation, that's the first point, it says millennial, that it will last 1,000 years. But that's a kingdom on earth. That's not our final eternal home, which we just looked at as our entry on chapter 21. Okay, so we have, the return. At that point, we have what's referred to, Revelation 16, makes a comment, verse 18 is where it is, that the islands of the seas will sink and the earth will be flattened. So there's going to be things that happen to the earth at this point. Along with that, and then we'd have the judgment of the nations. Daniel gives us another 75 days that we look at. That 75 days is at one point we have a separation of the sheep and the goats, and that concept, the sheep being representative of the Christians or those Christ followers, and the goats being those that reject Christ. And that point in time, we have, that's the end of the tribulation. At that point in time, the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. That's their eternal place. That's their eternal home. Because they've deceived so many people, they are the first two occupants of the true lake of fire, which is what really hell is. Okay? We have the keys. You can put that, Revelation 19, 20 to 21 is on that one. The keys are given to an angel, Revelation 20, 1 to 3. And I guess the traditional thinking is that that's the angel Michael. This is my opinion. It could be any of the angels. If Christ gives any angel the key, he can pick up Satan and bind him and put him, have him bound. That's just my humble opinion here. But no one really knows which angel it is, because I would say that because even Michael is supposed to be the strongest of the remaining good angels, but is not as strong as Satan. Satan was supposed to be the strongest of the angels and the most beautiful, the best, okay, that fell. Again, a little off the subject here, so off topic. But so Satan is bound. We have entered into the new millennial kingdom. Let's see. All at this time, all of the Old Testament saints, all of the New Testament saints, and all of the tribulation saints are coming into the millennial kingdom in their glorified body. There's another category, there's another category that includes the apostles that left their families to do the Lord's work. But somebody corrects me, I see them as an elite group of subset of New Testament saints. They are an elite group. I see them as a subset of the New Testament saints, because they would have seen Christ. So I might just leave them off as I talk about that one here. But that is another category. But they come in their glorified bodies. Those that have survived the tribulation period, who are believers at that time, come into the millennial kingdom in their mortal bodies. Okay? At this time, their life expectancy somehow expands to 1,000 years. And that is the group. It shouldn't be a whole lot of people that actually are in that category, but that group is going to multiply, reproduce. As I said a few weeks ago, there's going to be a whole lot of begotten getting going on here, because there's going to be a whole lot of people born in this millennial kingdom. We will be workers with the angels, as I've read this, in our glorified body. So we won't be reproducing at that time. So, because you're in, Satan is cast away. Then Satan has to be released for one last time at the end of the 1,000 years. Why is that? Although Satan is not working in this world like he is today, it's an obvious thing that you can see Satan working in today's world. You'd have to be blind not to see that, but he won't be there. But the sin nature of the earth and the people will still be there within them. So those being born, some will come to become Christians, some will not. No one entering the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, is a non-believer. Everyone entering the millennial kingdom is a believer, is a true believer, and is allowed to enter. But those that are born, not all of them will be believers, will end up being believers. Now, Prophet Jeremiah says that the Jews, every Jew born, will become believers, but not the Gentiles. So you're going to see Jews and Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. Now, when you look at, just a comment here. Isaiah 65:20 says that, indicates that believers will live past their 100th birthday. Non-believers will probably not make it that far. Then at Revelation 20:7-9, you'll see that, you can just look at that. Revelation 20:7-9. Let's look at that real quick. Where did I see that? In verse 8, we'll go out and deceive. Satan's going to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Gog, by the way, is, if I remember right this here. Is it Magog that's the grandson of Noah? I think Magog is the name of one of the grandsons of Noah, and that's the one that, it's either Gog or Magog. One of them, Magog is the one. Gog is, you see no other reference in the Bible, by the way. But Magog would be that area that goes up towards Russia. That's where his descendants would have gone. So together the battle, those number is is as the sand of the sea. So there's going to be a whole lot of people born in the 1,000-year period that will be following the Antichrist, or following Satan. When Satan's loose, Antichrist is already thrown in the lake of fire here. Okay? Am I getting anybody confused right now? Hopefully not. I'm kind of going back and forth myself in my own mind, because it is kind of a challenge to keep this all straight, isn't it? There's a lot of people, which means there's a lot of people that are born that are going to be believers in that millennial reign. We're going to be there as the angels are in helping as agents or as servants there. So we will have, as I've looked at that, we won't have a whole lot to do in the first 9 months of the millennial kingdom, but once, assuming that gestation period is still 9 months, then we'll still have people born, and now our work begins here. As far as trying to do our job, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I say too much here. Okay, at that final rebellion, that leads us to the great white throne judgment. First of all, we have Satan that is now in this rebellion thrown into the lake of fire. We have all from Old Testament to New Testament time to the tribulation time that have turned away from Christ, that are not accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Definitely in the tribulation period, those that take the mark of the beast will be judged at the great white throne judgment. That is a judgment time that is not for believers, that is only for unbelievers. And unfortunately for them, there's only one verdict, and that is guilty, and they go into the lake of fire. They would be given their new body that can survive that lake of fire for eternity, where there will be, the worm never dies, where there will be gnashing of teeth. I know you're saying things that you remember in the description. And they will be under eternal torment. That's a sad thing to think about, isn't it? For anybody. Not just for me, but for anybody to think in terms of that. But that's where they will be going after that final rebellion. And, first of all, Satan's cast in the lake of fire, and then the great white throne judgment for all of the believers. That all, somewhere in there, would include all of what we've read and what Daniel, I think, said, a third of the angels followed Satan. So there's a lot of angels that would be there, too. Then they mention here that the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord and is in Philippians 2, 9 to 11. I think Pastor Joe will probably get to that here in a few months or so. But I looked at that as everybody. That includes those in the lake of fire will be on their knees acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then we are ready for the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, did I leave something out that somebody thought might be important here? I've left a lot of things out here, but just so we can get that picture, that time frame. Revelation or rapture happens, 7-year period, Christ returns, judgment is issued. Of course, he wins the battle. It's not really a battle here. It's a war, and it's quickly over. And then who's going to go into the millennial reign? And then we're looking at the end of the millennial reign. And what happens now? We're about ready to get into that. Question? I'm sorry, what? End of the millennium, for our names, we will be at the Bema judgment, which is at the beginning, or at the rapture time here. That is our judgment. I think I'm understanding that question here is that the name, if your name is in the book of life, you will not be at the great white throne judgment. Okay, so I see it. Is that any other? But those that are at the great white throne, I mean, you find yourself in front of the great white throne judgment, it's all over. I mean, you're guilty because the judgment's been made. Okay, but I know what you're talking about on the book of life is, yeah, go ahead. Right, that's in the Bema judgment right there, according to the works. And then you're granted crowns. I skipped over that. Okay, that's at the white throne, great white throne judgment, at the end of our millennial kingdom here. Exactly. That's my understanding. That did you get that? That at the great white throne judgment, those that are saved will not be in that book, okay? They will be in the book of life. Now, that partially explains it, too, and I'm still working this through. The Bema judgment is at the beginning, is at the rapture point, which is the beginning of the tribulation period. But we have people that come to Christ in the tribulation period. We also have people that come to Christ that are born in the millennial kingdom, okay? They will be saved also. How that works, I'm not sure. But if they're not saved, they will be at the end of the millennial kingdom. They will be brought in front of our Lord at the great white throne judgment, which again, that's their next step is on into the lake of fire. Okay, I'm not quite. I'm a little fuzzy on that. Maybe I can do a little more research on that one here to find out when. Any other? Yeah, there will be no names of his believers, of his followers, in anything at the great white throne judgment. Okay. All right. This could be scary for some people, but really it's kind of exciting, isn't it? I mean, it is kind of. And this is really what the whole Bible is pointing towards. Yeah. That's right. Okay. But it's going to happen in his time frame. So we're here. We're tearing on. We're carrying on. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the 75 days is the period of time. Daniel's given us his vision of the 7.5-year period ended up with 75 days extra. In that 75 days, we have the separation at the end of the tribulation period of the sheep and the goats concept, We have the judgment of the nations as a concept there. I've also read one commentary saying that in 75 days, there is going to be so much destruction to this planet that it's going to take 75 days to heal the planet. Just like Noah's, you know, the great flood, it took a while for the earth to regenerate, to after everything's destroyed by the flood, for new growth to happen. So that's the 75-day period, would be at the end of the tribulation period and immediately before going into the millennial kingdom. Okay? Daniel's given us those extra 75 days. Don't ask me the chapter. I'd have to look at that one here. But I know Daniel's given us that. That's it. I knew that. It was right up there. No. That's why we have a good pastor around here. So, okay. Any other questions on that point? On this point here. Now, I do want to, I left it a little nebulous of regarding the Old Testament saints when they are, when they receive their resurrected bodies, because my understanding was Old Testament saints would come at the same time, which is the beginning of the tribulation, right after the rapture, that nanosecond before those alive are raptured, all the dead in Christ will rise. So everybody that we've known that have already died, they're going to be given their glorious body, their regenerated body, immediately before we get ours. Okay, I'm assuming it. Well, if it happens today again, I'm just looking at that. So keep in mind, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 referred to those of us who are still alive will be raptured. Paul thought he might be raptured. Well, that's obviously not the case. But we can think that, but it doesn't matter if we are called home or called to our place before home, you might say. We will be given our regenerated body immediately before those who are raptured. Now, I'm going to just read this because at the first part of a year, I get too busy to look at a magazine called Israel My Glory. I really like that magazine. And then I get lazy, and then I pick this up and start reading some of these. I just happened to pick this one up here. It says, this one of the editors here, David Levy, if you've got your copy, I think I ran a few copies of this here, but yeah, the last issue of Israel My Glory, if you got that, you can look at that. It says, what will our resurrected bodies be like? Well, that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Well, what are we going to be like here? He says, every human being will receive a resurrected body prepared for eternity. That's everyone. The redeemed will go to heaven, and the unredeemed will be tormented in the lake of fire forever. You can look at Daniel 12, 2, John 5, 24, and also verse 29, and then Revelation 20, 11 to 15, which we were just looking at. Okay, the believer's resurrected body will be like Christ. The Apostle John said, when he, Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him, 1 John 3, 2. The Apostle Paul said, Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, Philippians 3, 21. How will our bodies be like Christ in his... You know, there's been some people that say, well, we're going to be like Christ, and, you know, isn't it Benny Hinn that I don't listen to him very much, but I think there's some people that say that, well, that means we're going to be like a God, aren't we? No, our body is going to be conformed to his. So keep that in mind. We are not going to be God. We will always be not God. I think the Mormons probably believe that too, because I know they're good people. I've knew some in the past. They're good people, and... But they're told that if they are good people in the next world, they will get their world to be God over. So, okay? Okay, that's one place where they go astray. Okay. Let me see. The Apostle Paul said Christ will transfer. Okay, I said that. How will our bodies be like Christ? In his post-resurrection body on earth, Jesus was recognizable, right? He came back and his disciples could recognize who he was. He could appear and disappear, Luke 24:31. He could walk, talk, and eat. He possessed scars, so he could show the, he showed Thomas the scar in his hand. Maintained his appearance, and then he rose into heaven. He was not bound by gravity, time, or space. Again, we understand what it is like not to be bound by gravity when we look at those in our space, you know, the space world here. But we cannot understand what time outside of time would be. He could travel at will. He could pass through closed doors and walls. Here again, John 20. I'll skip the references here. They're here if you want a copy of this. He will be able to do likewise. But then the rest of this is out of 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 49. I'll just read what he has to say here. Paul described four ways the resurrected bodies of true believers in Jesus Christ will differ from mortal bodies. First, the mortal bodies deteriorate, die, and turn to dust. We all can see that in our own body, right? The resurrected bodies will never tire, deteriorate, or die. Mortal bodies are corruptible, perishable, and the resurrected bodies will be incorruptible. The second one, mortal bodies are sown in dishonor and raised in glory. They are imperfect, possessing a sin nature, but the resurrected bodies will be raised perfect without a sin nature. Three, mortal bodies are weak. Our resurrected bodies will be raised in power and will be physically, mentally, and spiritually powerful and perfect. They will not need rest, food, sleep, oxygen, or medical care. A mortal body cannot be eternal or enter heaven. So those that entered into the millennium in their mortal bodies at the end of the millennium, those that are in Christ, believers, will enter into the heaven. Our natural bodies are subject to natural laws and will one day die. Our spiritual bodies will not have flesh or blood or be bound by the laws of nature and death. They will be suited for eternity and animated by God's divine spirit and power. All true believers in Christ, in Jesus Christ, will receive their resurrected bodies at the rapture of the church. We saw 1 Thessalonians, also 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. But here's where he differs from my understanding, but here's where a difference. He said Old Testament believers will be resurrected immediately before Christ's second coming, but he does give a reference. Daniel 12, 1 to 3. So those in Christ, which I guess, cut it, you know, looking at that, the Old Testament believers, they're not Christ, they didn't know Christ. They knew God, and they were faithful to God, and they worshiped God. They were true worshipers, you might say, and the Bible does say. So those, what he's saying, those people will enter, will receive their resurrected body at the end of the tribulation. My understanding was all would be at the beginning of the tribulation, but he may be right. That would be a first time that I would be wrong, right? He said with profuse sarcasm. Second time. Okay, thank you. Oh, 2 minutes. Okay. I thought he said that was only the second time I would be wrong. Okay. I was going to agree with that. 2 minutes. Okay. We're going to wrap this up here today then. Anyway, that just means that if he's right, then I have to wait another 7 years before I can have a conversation with Noah, with Adam, because they won't be coming in their resurrected body until the end of the tribulation period. And I will tell you right now, I promise when I can converse with Adam, I'm not going to ask him, what were you thinking about, man? I'm not going to ask that because I know two reasons. I would do the same thing, only I would do it worse. And I know the answer. The answer is, it just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. And so I already know the answer on that one. So, but I promise I will not ask. I might ask Seth if he ever asked his dad, what were you thinking about, man? So anyway. So then he finishes up. This Mr. Levy finishes up. Scripture is silent on certain details, such as what age, appearance, height, and weight individuals will possess in their resurrected glorified bodies. that's yet to come. So with that, I have a few more things to cover, but we're going to cover those as we next time as we lead into the new heaven and the new earth. Any questions? Got half a minute? Comments? John? One heaven, so probably our first heaven. Yeah. Well, one thing was for sure, it is not the throne room of God, is not to be destroyed. But yes, because, and the reason is, there's a sin nature in the whole earth. Remember, when Adam and the woman at that time, Eve, later called Eve, were kicked out, the whole sin nature was put on the whole earth, and that's what has to be destroyed, because you know there is not going to be, it has to be perfect for where God will be. Otherwise, it would corrupt God. I don't think about that too long. So, any other comments here? Let's pray, and then we can close for today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we can study your word, that we can look at your word and look at your plan that you have for all believers, unfortunately all unbelievers at this time. We pray that we can do your work to evangelize those that are questioning, and that we can work towards glorifying your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.